Welcome to the Well Podcast. We'd like to thank you for joining us as we discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. Our services are at 9 and 11 a.m. in Artesia, California. You can find out more about us by going online and visiting us at gotothewell.church and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. You are loved.
Welcome back after last week. So Valentine's Day was on this week. You ever had those weeks? You just don't know what day it is. Like, you're just like, all right, let's do this again. I don't know how I'm going to start this one. Today we're continuing our topic on intimacy. And I just want to throw out there, we're talking about Financial Peace Connect Group, we're talking about Kids Connect Group, we're talking about the marriage seminar. All these things are investments. And anything that you want to see grow in your life, whether it be your 401k or whether it be your intimacy with your spouse or the intimacy within the community that you have around you, things can either be a deposit or a withdrawal. These are deposits. You look at the marriage seminar and go, $75. What? Yeah, but how much is your credit card payment? You know, like, how much is counseling? You know, so all these things are investments so you can experience freedom. I hope you heard, when you heard about the Kids Connect Group, if you have kids in here today, that you heard, one, my kids will be loved and invested in, and two, date night. Let me say that again. If you have kids in here today, and you heard the Kids Connect Group announcement, you are thinking, wow, my kids get to get invested in, and then two, date night. You have no excuse. It's literally your kids are taken care of, and they're not just going to hang out and watch Finding Nemo. They're going to learn about the things that are important about following Jesus in the rest of their life, so they don't have to make the same mistakes you did in order to gain wisdom. Okay, and so a date night is an investment into the intimacy that God has calling you and desiring for you to move into with your spouse. So we are literally giving you tools and a lack of excuses. So really, if you choose not to and participate with these things in your marriage or your finances or you name it, continue to go down the path that they're going down that you don't want them to go down to, I want to be honest with you, it's not me, it's you.
There you go.
So, as we're going to discover, intimacy has so much to do with not only what you are receiving, but what you are giving. It is a two-way street. So with that, I can do a quick scan here. I think we're okay. But the small parental advisory, whether you're in here now, you have young ones. If they are in high school, they already know more than you. They should probably stay in here. But junior high and younger, I encourage go serve in Kids Life. Be leaders over there, and you're going to love it. It's going to be awesome. And if you're watching on YouTube or listening on Spotify, this may not be the message you listen to on the way to school, but maybe on the way home after you dropped off the kids. And so we are excited for the things that God wants to teach us today. This whole year, God's asking us to move from beyond our elementary teachings about Christ and to be taken forward into maturity. I don't know if you've ever had those awkward conversations with people. They're like 35 years old, and you go, wow, someone has never matured. Like, you needed, like, to go into the military. You needed to have a breakup. You needed to have a terrible first job because somebody did not realize that the world does not surround them. And a lot of times we think in our Christianity that God is only here to serve you. And so we need to move forward in our maturity to understand that not only does God love you and care for you, he loves you so much that he's not willing to keep you where you are, but wants to move you to a new place because he has people that he wants you to engage in an incredible message called the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we have to make that move. And so we learned last week that we are created to experience intimacy with God and with people. Now, intimacy is that experience where there is complete vulnerability. We see in the garden is that man and woman were naked, just there, out there. They didn't hide from God. They didn't hide from each other. It was just, that is the way it was, and it was glory. But then sin came into the world, and suddenly now they're hiding from God, and now they're hiding each other by putting, they're covering themselves because now shame and guilt has been introduced into creation. And we see that not only does sin, but shame and guilt all equal to death. And as followers of Jesus, we are not called to live in guilt and shame.
Right.
Okay, some of us didn't hear that. As believers in Jesus, we are not called to live in guilt and shame. Because those are the things that the enemy does to create separation, to destroy intimacy with us and our Creator and us and one another. And so God has called us to live in freedom. And that's why it's so important that we discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. Because when you discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus, you gain a new sense of freedom and intimacy is restored. And now we get to choose intimacy instead of choosing this place of hiding from one another. So last week we began our series called Us. We opened up the Song of Solomon, the sexy book of the Bible, the one that gets steam pouring out during your daily devotions. You're reading them at Starbucks, you're all, wiping down the window. But today we're talking about, we learned that Song of Solomon, it's literally a song. It's to be sung. It's to be danced to. There's a rhythm and a motion to it that is to be enjoyed when this is read or when this is sung. This whole book was read during a 7-day wedding ceremony of Jewish people. This was a celebration. And that's really what intimacy is. We can go into a whole detail about desire and sexual taboos and things like that. And we did all that and into the taboo. So you can go back on YouTube and watch it all and kind of get caught up there because there's a lot of things, especially within the church. They say, hey, we're not supposed to talk about this. But meanwhile, people are dying and looking, dying inside and looking other avenues and how to gain sexual intimacy. So they'll go on Cosmo, they'll go on different websites. So they'll ask friends that maybe give really poor advice instead of going to what the Bible says, going to church communities to be able to have a connect group or be able to have community where you say, hey, I need help with my sex life. Who can help me? And everyone's going, I'll help. Hey, and we start in healthy conversation to improve something that God says that this should be something that's very, very powerful, very beneficial to you and your spouse. So just a quick comment. So today we're talking about sexual intimacy. Next week we're talking about emotional intimacy. And the week after that we're talking about spiritual intimacy. And so guys, don't miss out next week because I believe that as we open up scripture, we're going to find out about why the reasons why you're wrong so much. And check this out. If you can fix that, then you become right. Isn't that crazy? You fix something and it gets better. So make sure that you are here for that. As we talk through this, I know there's this tension, especially within church, like, but I'm single, but I'm married, but I'm widowed, or I'm divorced, and how do I handle these things such as intimacy? And can I tell you that Paul celebrates marriage? We see all through Scripture, God celebrates marriage, and marriage is a good thing. But can I get an amen? Marriage is not easy. Okay. But then there also we have people who are single. Again, whether it's before marriage, after marriage, whatever your case may be, how many of you know being single can be difficult? Yes. But you know one of the things, the Bible tells us to be content in every season. And some of you single people are going, well, yeah, I've been waiting for 15 years contentment. Okay. And the married people are going, it's been 15 years. I'm going to kind of open myself up to you a little bit and tell you about the biggest argument Aaron and I had this week, if that's okay. So we went on I'm going to do my best to say this. We went on a 3-day retreat, just her and I, okay? Went down to Carlsbad where all you ladies have ladies retreat at. So much fun. Except for they decided to do construction. And I woke up the second morning and opened the door and they have scaffolding all outside of our balcony. Going, there goes our beach view. And I'm pretty sure that guy's name is like Mo or something that outside of my window. We had this amazing week connected just in every way and just enjoyed each other's company and just felt like this new intimacy level was reached as we kind of processed through the pain that we went through last year with the miscarriage and just, you know, just the flow of life, reconnected. And we're on our way home and we got a dog, not at the Carlsbad, but like it was shipped to us. Amazon Prime, it was awesome. But we're on our way to pick up our puppy. I'm super excited. We got a little golden doodle, and I'm super, super excited. I've been wanting a golden doodle for years, and we're on our way, and my wife goes, "We need to get the car wash." I'm like, why? I know why she wants it. I have to hear her say it, because I don't want the dog to see our dirty car. So I'm upset because I just want to go get the dog and we're sitting in the car wash. And just going to all this, all, you know, we start arguing about it and I'm just like, I just want to go get the dog. She's like, I just want to get my car wash. And I'm just saying, and this is the really difference between marriage and being single. If you're single, you do what you want. If you want Taco Bell for dinner, you don't have to ask the other person. You have to question your life choices. But if you want to stay up till 2 a.m. and binge watch a show on Netflix, you can. But when you're married, you didn't wait up for me. You left me there in the living room by myself. There is contentment that is to be sought after on both sides. It's even better when you have kids. Like those, you know, who are struggling, you know, like, I really want kids, but then the other half is going, we have kids. Is you get to do whatever you want. We were talking to someone the other day. We're like, man, we're really excited. We're going on this retreat. It's just us. We get to reconnect. We got babysitting. Like, we're like, you guys should do that too. And they're like, we don't have kids. We do that every day. When you're single, you go on a date, maybe cost you $20-$25. You're married, cost you $50-$60. When you have kids, you're looking at 100 over because one, if you take them with you, they're gonna buy something they're not gonna eat. And then if you don't take them with you, you've gotta pay for the babysitting and then the food and then the gas and it's... The power of contentment is whatever season that you're in, God wants to move in intimacy with you. As we start Song of Solomon, there's this graphic I saw. If you've ever heard of the Babylon Bee, it's this kind of satire muse place. But they put this picture up this week, and it's Song of Solomon Sweetheart Candies, now available. And so if you can see that, I like them. It's, your teeth are sheep. You have goat hair. I like all those. I thought that was pretty neat. So you can take a look at those. Oh, man. Here we go. Here we go. You ready?
Yes.
Are you ready? I don't think you're ready. One person's ready. I'm looking at my notes right now. There's a terrible, terrible, terrible autocorrect. And I'm glad you can't see it. So we're created to experience intimacy with God and with people. And there's multiple ways we experience intimacy with people and with God. And again, we have sexually, emotionally, and spiritually. Now, when we're talking about sexual intimacy, it is important that this involves being within context of the marriage relationship. And if you context, sometimes like, oh, that's a big word. And, well, what about this? We throw in all the gray areas to justify whatever behavior that you're in. And so really it comes down to is this. How many of you like a nice cold cup of milk? Some of you lacto people, maybe almond milk. Okay. All right. That's good, right? You know, some cookies. You never dip them. Keep them separate. We're not going to be animals. You know, pouring your cereal is good, but have you ever woken up and you said, I want that carton of milk that's been sitting out for 3 days in by the window where the sun comes in? Can I just drink that right up? Why not? It's milk. It's milk. Cold milk in the fridge is the same milk that's been sitting on the counter, right? The only difference is the context. Okay? The context is it wasn't kept at its recommended refrigerated temperature. Okay? But it's still milk. The difference is one was drank in context. The other one was drank out of context. Okay? And only one, unless you're lactose, and this is even true in this illustration, only one is going to cause destruction and cause discomfort and cause drama in your life. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay? And it all has to do with context. And that's why as we understand sexual intimacy, we have to understand that this is a carton of milk that needs to be in the refrigerator and not just out for anyone on the counter. Do you see the difference? So it's really understand that when we talk about sexual intimacy, it is about being in this context. So outside of marriage, sex is very destructive, while inside of marriage, it's very beautiful, beneficial, and constructive. So whatever season that you are in, whether you're in singleness, whether you are in marriage, whether you are after marriage, whatever season you're in, it's important to understand this in the context in which God created it. Because a lot of us are going around drinking spoiled milk and expecting why it's upsetting our stomach so bad. So write this down. It's kind of the big point we're talking about today is sexual intimacy must be fanned. Must be fanned. If you get that picture, if you ever had a campfire, you put the wood, you get some kindling in there, you get a little fire in there, and that's like when you meet, and it's like, hey, what's up, girl? And it's like, you know, you get in, and the flame pops up really easy, like, woo! But then, as you know, the campfire begins to dwindle and dwindle and dwindle, and yet what we're called to do is not just go, all right, well, that flame is over, time to go to the next one, because the marriage covenant is about commitment and about loyalty. So you tangibly have to put more wood in, you tangibly have to put more kindling in, you tangibly have to fan that into, so it comes back into a flame, so it continues to burn, because this is what God has desired for us. So number one, write this down, it's kind of an interesting one. It says, our dreams can fuel our prayers. Our dreams can fuel our prayers. You can turn to Song of Solomon or the Song of Songs, chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 1 through 5, considering this one. But our dreams can fuel our prayers. Let's read that. It says, oh, this is the bride. She's having this dream. I don't know if it's a dream at night, whether it's a daydream. It says, it says at night, so let's go with that. On my bed by night, I sought after whom my soul loves. I feel like we need special music behind this. All right. I sought him, but found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the squares. I will seek him whom my soul loves. I sought him, but found him not. All the single people said, I get what you're saying. Maybe that's really hard. I don't know. Say something. The watchmen found me. As they went about the city. Have you seen him whom my soul loves? Scarcely had I passed him when I found whom my soul loves, when I held him and would not let him go, until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her who conceived me. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or the does of the field, that you may not stir up or awaken love until it pleases. This dream is actually a prayer. Have you noticed what you dream about? You pay attention to the things that you... Now, I'm not talking about that's just the random dreams that suddenly you're on top of like a spaceship that's flying through an actual Milky Way candy bar that, you know, there's a unicorn over there. No, I'm not talking about those dreams. I'm talking about the things that you purposely dream about. The things that you purposely are thinking about as you lay down your head to bed. Maybe that's, man, I'm so excited for this test to get over. Or I'm excited for my spouse or some others. I'm excited for someone else's spouse. I'm excited for this. I'm excited for that. And you allow your brain and your mind to go other places. And really, there is no other time in your day where you are sitting and being still that you can have a communication time with God. But so many times we allow our brains to wander into places that we would never dream of actually doing, but we have no problem fantasizing about it. This entire song is actually a praise and thanksgiving that happens during a dream. See, this bride, when she dreams, she's actively seeking her love. The one her soul longs for. Can I tell you, whether you're single in here or whether you're married, do not settle for what you go, don't ever settle for what comes to you. Go after what you want. Dream about it. Pursue it. Now, if you're married in here, what that means is that doesn't mean, well, I tried this one, it doesn't work. I want a new wife. I want a new husband. I want a new that. No, no, no. How can you now pursue your spouse in a greater way? What if your dreams turn into your prayers? What if it turned into, man, I wish we could do this together. I wish we can experience this together. I wish we can, go these places and have these values in our lives together. Or as a single person, you don't just go, oh, they asked me out on a date, so I sure I said yes. And yeah, we get along, so I guess we'll get married. No. Go after the one that you want. Don't settle for less because you think that's the only chance you're going to get. The same with marriage. It's just because that's where your marriage is at, where it's at now, does not mean that's where it's going to end up. It's up to you now if you're going to settle or not. Are you going to seek after more or are you going to settle for less? I believe that we're to seek after more. The other thing we see that the bride does is she holds on to him. She'll hold on to him. The greatest word that I think, boil down marriage into one word is this, it's fight. Because sometimes you fight each other, but more importantly, you fight for one another.
Right.
And there's a big distinction there. When you can get that place where you realize is, I'm not fighting against you, I'm fighting for you. Yeah. And that pursuit that you are chasing after and that you want greater health, that you don't want anything to come into, whether your marriage bed or into your home, that is going to separate you from one another, I'm going to fight against that. So you got to hold on tight. Because not only do you have an enemy that is here to kill, steal, and destroy, but your own sinful nature says, it's about me. If you didn't know yet, it's not. But hold on to the one whom your soul loves. And then the other thing that we see is that she earnestly fights for purity. Did you hear that prayer, that declaration, that cry for help? It says, that's when I begin to pray, Lord. That's my quote later. But he comes back to it. It says, I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles, by the does of the field, that you not stir up or awaken love until it pleases. Because she knows what she wants. She's at this place. They're not married yet. She knows what she wants. She's got her in her arms, and everything's saying, hey, let's go. But there's this cry for purity, and whether you're single or whether you're married, there's a purity that you have to protect and chase after in order to preserve the thing that God has for you. There's a purity, there's an importance, and can I tell you, this is truly a prayer and a declaration. You have to fight and scream and chase after purity. Well, again, whether you're single, you've got that, I don't know if that swipe left or swipe right. I've only heard about it, never done it. And you go, oh, like I'm done. Like, this is just over. Like, if I met this person, everything will be, like, perfect. Or everything, I'll just give my whole self to them. Or whatever, you're on that first date, and you're just excited. And you're just like, who cares if this is what keeps them around? It's what keeps her around. And you have to go, no. Like, literally, put your foot down and stop. Because you realize that purity will always lead the way to intimacy. And when you break that impurity, will always build walls between you and between intimacy and you. There's a song that's in this play that I really liked. I'm super excited. I'm seeing later this year. But it's from Hamilton. I won't read the whole thing because, yeah. Hamilton's at this place where he's stressed out, he's alone, his family's gone for vacation, and he stayed behind because he's got to get the treasury to be in New York, and all these stuff, and a woman comes knocking on his door, and she's looking good. And he says this, that's when I began to pray, Lord, would you show me how to say no to this? I don't know how to say no to this. But my God, she's looking helpless, and her body is saying something yes. That like that pull, that desire. And I don't know if you've ever walked through temptation, but it's never like, oh, that looks good. I'm going to walk over there on my own free will. It literally feels like something has grabbed you and is pulling you. And is no matter how hard you fight, it's like it's coming at you because all your eyes are on that. It's like a tractor beam. But that's why you've got to fight for your purity. You got to fight and fight and fight for it. And that is so important. As a married couple, that's how you fan into flame. Because if you're looking on things online and not your spouse, you are diminishing, you are smothering the fire that God wants to have in your marriage. You've got to learn how to say no to that and begin to walk away towards your spouse, not away. Well, imagine this. What if you dreamed of sexual purity instead of sexual fantasies? Think about that. Now, for some of you, you're in a phase of life going, oh, that hasn't happened in a long time. That's fine. We'll get there. But whether you're single or whether you're married, what if you changed that time that you spend thinking in ways that, of what could have been or what should be, or if it were up to you and all these things, and what if you said, spent that time saying, Lord, I want to improve where I'm at and see the incredible things that God wants to do there. Not only would your prayers change you, but God would move in your life in a whole new way. Number two, write this down. You must be aware in order for you to remember. You must be aware in order for you to remember. Looking at Song of Solomon chapter 4, verse 6. Until the day, did I do that right? No, we got to do the tower, the neck like David, chapter 4, verse 6. Oh, chapter 1, sorry, verse 1. Behold, you are beautiful, my love. Behold, you are beautiful. Your eyes are doves. Behind your veil, your hair is like a flock of goats. Leaping down the slopes of Gilead, your teeth are like a flock of shorn ewes that have come up with the washing, all in which bear twins, and not among them has lost its young. Your lips are like scarlet thread, and your mouth is lovely. Your cheeks are like the halves of pomegranate. Behind your veil, your neck is like the Tower of David, but is built in rows of stone. On it hangs 1,000 shells, and all of them shield of warriors. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of gazelle, that graze among the lilies. Until the day breathes and the shadows flee, I will go away to the mountain of myrrh and the hill of frankincense. You are altogether beautiful, my love. There is no flaw in you. Come with me from Lebanon, my bride. Come with me from Lebanon. Depart from the peak of Ammon, from the peak of Sinar and Hermon, from the dens of lions, from the mountains of leopards. Let's get away from it all, is what he's saying. You have captivated my heart, my sister, my bride. You have captivated my heart with one glance of your eyes, with one jewel of your necklace. How beautiful is your love, my sister, my bride. How much better is your love than wine, the fragrance of your oils than my spice, than any spice. Your lips drip nectar, my bride. Honey and milk are under your tongue. The fragrance of garments is like the fragrance of Lebanon. The garden locked is my sister, my bride. Is a spring locked, a fountain sealed. Your shoots are an orchard of pomegranates with all choice fruits. Imagine someone comes, you have choice fruits. Hina with nard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, and all the trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes with all choice spices, a garden formula, a well of living water, and flowing streams of Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come. O south wind, blow upon my garden, and let the spices flow. Woo! El caliente, is that what I heard? From the Dutch woman. Speaking in tongues over there, really. Let me ask you a question here. So we're caught hold of imagery, association. This is why it's so important to remember. He's not just saying this to woo her. He's saying this as a because he took time to think about it. When's the last time you thought about the things you're about to say? And as you get older, how many, we know that life happens in seasons. And there are times when everything is exactly, you know, like you look back, Aaron and I were talking about this, man. We can look back in how we were in our 20s, you know, bodies were a little different, and, you know, things worked a little differently. Like, it was just different. You ever look back and go, man, what if it was like that? And as the older that you get, you realize that your body, your emotions, your seasons, your circumstances, they change. But if you take the time to be aware of the season that you are in, you learn to appreciate it. And it becomes something you remember with fondness. Because it wasn't just, oh, that's my wife. Oh, yeah, she's pretty. That's my husband. Yeah, he smells good, kind of, sometimes. No. If you want to remember, you need to learn how to be aware now. You will never get today back. So what if we took the time to really appreciate and open with our eyes and begin to express and begin to vocalize the things that you're seeing and that you're feeling and that you're experiencing? This is why wedding vows are so crucial and so important. You don't just show up and go, you want to get hitched? All right, cool. Maybe you did. But usually, I love it, and I wish Aaron and I did this with our wedding, but we didn't write our own vows, but I love it when people do write their own vows because they really think about it. And it's the greatest thing because the groom is so proud he wrote something, and the bride is so excited that he wrote something. Because you actually have to put thought behind it. This is how I see you. What if you spent today and you wrote down the way that you see your bride, the way that you see your husband? And if you're single here, what if you wrote down the ways that you want your husband to be or your wife to be? What if you took the time to be aware in this moment? This is why it's important to do those romantic or non-romantic getaways. That's why we talked about songs last week and getting those songs. All those things add to the memory, add to the story that God is birthing in you. This is why anniversaries are not about presents. It's about reconnection. What if your anniversary wasn't just like, all right, here you go. You told me not to get anything, but then I thought you'd be mad, so I just got you something. So here, let's go to Olive Garden now. What if you actually took the time to reconnect with your spouse? What if you actually said, hey, these were my wins, these were my opportunities, these are what I loved what you did, this is what I hated what you did. Hey, this is where we can do better, this is where I love, can we do this again? We talked about last week, but these are the altars that we create to remember that God is faithful in every season. You know, one of the things that we left to do is we left to go to Seattle because it was in Seattle that God saved our lives. And we would just go and be reconnected again, walk where we used to walk, go where we used to go to the food places we used to go to, do our daily devotions in the same coffee shop we did devotions when we had to meet each other again. To go and find those places, to go after those things. Now, my third point, I don't put it up yet, I guarantee you have never written this in any church you have ever been to. This is perhaps my greatest point that we have ever discussed. I'm celebrating myself right now because I'm super proud of it. But I can tell you right now, you have never written it in any place ever. You ready? You ready? They're not ready, Jacob. Ready? All right, go ahead and put it up there. You must seek to understand if you seek to undress. Okay? You must seek to understand if you seek to get, or even put, to get undressed. Some of you know what I'm talking about here. You're like, but it's Wednesday. Yeah, I'm taking out the trash. You haven't done the dishes. You've done nothing to earn Wednesday.
Oh,
Song of Solomon. To end chapter 4, it says, "Let my beloved come to his garden and eat his choicest fruits. I came to my garden, my sister, my bride. I gathered my myrrh and my spice, my honeycomb with my honey, and drank my wine with my milk." And the others respond, "Eat, friends, drink, and be drunk with love." They've got married. Now they're spending some time together. Men need 24 to 25 seconds of foreplay. Women need 24 hours. Okay? I love it. C.J. Mahaney said this, "Before you touch her body, you must first touch her heart and her mind." See, marriage cannot be based on convenience or security or finances. It must be built on rich character and hot chemistry. And hot chemistry doesn't just mean like, hey, what's up? Hot chemistry is, like I said, you took out the trash. This is why. That's right. I love it. When Erin and I first got married, she used to buy me gifts. She'd buy me these things. She'd go to Target. She'd go to all these places. She'd buy me these gifts. She'd go, "Look, honey, I bought you a gift." I'm like, "I don't want a gift. How much money did you spend on that?" Yep. Like, it was an insult for you to buy me a gift. And she still hasn't figured out my taste in things.
Amazon
wish list. That's all you do. But then I used to come home and give her a big hug and squeeze and give her some affection and love. And she would go, "Just get off of me." It wasn't even sexual. It was just like, "Hey, like, I miss you. And like, I feel I have to like almost wrestle you because that's how, you know." And she's just like, "Ew." I'm like, "I got married so I didn't have to hear ew." You know, like, what is going on? But this is why it's important that we learn to understand. So if you've never heard about it, but they're called the 5 love languages. And to discover your 5 love languages, you can go on 5lovelanguages.com, and it will take you through a survey, and you can discover it. But here's a book, famous book by Gary Chapman. And we have a chart here that goes up. So the 5 love languages that he describes are words of affirmation, physical touch, receiving gifts, quality time, and acts of service. Now, these are all things, even right off the bat, like the one that just made you go, ooh, that's the one that you probably are. That's how you receive love. But a lot of times, the way that we receive love, because we're selfish individuals, we think the world revolves around us, we assume everyone else receives love that way. And if they don't, how dare you, sir? I have given you a gift. You shall return in kind by giving me a gift. And then it breaks down and you go, oh, they don't like me, I don't like them, that's just whatever. And what happens is people get married, and what happens when you're dating is sometimes you change, that way you don't want to be rejected, so you do everything you can to be accepted. And so now you've done that and you get married, you say, "I do," and then you're like, "Okay, now you get the real me." And you're going, "What? Who are you?" And so there's these different ways. And so if you want to truly seek to be able to touch touch the heart of the one whom your soul loves, you have to learn how they give gifts. You have to learn. Because they will not receive the love you're trying to give them unless they are in a way that they receive the gift. Isn't that so unselfish of you? Isn't that so patient and kind of you? Isn't that so long-suffering of you? That's called love. Not, I get what I want, but I get to give what they want. It changes the whole thing. So you can get all this information online and stuff like that. I didn't print it out for you because I want you to do the homework. Because if you don't do the homework, then you're not going to be all in it. But I really want you to pursue it. I want to invite the worship team up. Because one of the greatest ways that we can begin to trust and we begin to practice intimacy, begin to seek the heart of the one whom your soul loves, is to seek Jesus. Now, some of you are going, wait, hold on. We're talking about intimacy and foreplay. Now we're talking about Jesus. Because we want to engage not just in sexual intimacy, but emotional intimacy and spiritual intimacy. But what I love about when we worship the King, when we follow Jesus, is I have never met anyone more than Jesus that has taught me how to wait for what's worth it. Jesus who teaches me how to love unselfishly. See, we can actually take some time, and we're not going to today, but go through the gospel and see how Jesus addresses each of these love languages. Because his love is for all people that he gives to us. And then now we get to respond by living in that way. So I want to invite you to stand. We're going to have the prayer buckets up front. And even if you would be so bold, whether you're married or whether you're single, would you take some time to pray for your spouse in this moment? Would you take the time to pray for maybe that future spouse? Maybe you're at a season of your life of sexual intimacy is done, but maybe you've lost your spouse. Can you spend some time thanking God for the intimacy that you got to share with them? But most importantly, can we just spend some time worshiping our King, the one who teaches us how to love and love well? Let's worship together.
Thank you for listening to the Well Podcast. If you'd like more information or would like to get connected, visit us at gotothewell.church. Visit us again next week as we continue to discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. You are loved.